was a horse.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. The event center at Horseshoe. I think it's going to be easier. It's going to be easier to make the transition to Horseshoe because, of course, of Horseshoe Indy. As we got a lot of practice, a lot easier to make that transition from the transition we had to make from Treasure Island to Bally's. It took me, maybe. The full first year when we moved from Treasure Island here. Keith Shamblin, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Well, it certainly looks fabulous, and we say it now every year. What is this, the fourth year here?
Fourth year here. I believe that's correct, yes.
I think so.
You know, COVID screwed everything up, but it's great to be back.
In this room, somebody was having this conversation with us, and we talked to Nick Tamaro, and the transition from Treasure Island, part of the decision to come here originally was the growth of the field from 5 to 7 range, more or less. And having everybody in the same room is just—it's just better, and that part of it really adds to the whole, you know, the whole aura.
It's amazing, 40,000 square foot race book, and we're going to be pushing the limits this weekend. You know, it's going to be terrific. We're really looking forward to it, but. Just tremendous growth this year, and I guess there's some pent-up demand after nearly three years of COVID, and people are ready to play again.
Let's go over the numbers, and I threw it at everybody just as part of the intro as to how popular the Last Chance, First Chance has gotten, and that's a fairly recent phenomenon too, the last 3 or 4 years.
No, and I think we never anticipated it would be this large, but I think we probably could have sold a couple hundred more entries if we had left the entry period open, but we had to cut it off last night at 8 o'clock, and I have a feeling people would buy right through noon today if they could. After watching the early selections, they'd probably buy more entries to try to win a way in. It's a testament to the power of the NHC that people want to get here and qualify so badly that, we'll have a huge crowd. And, we're giving away, we've got 749 entries into the Last Chance, First Chance. That's a 40% increase over last year's record total of 532. We'll have 590 players playing for 28 spots to the NHC. We're going to add one more after going through the math again this morning and verifying the total numbers. So it'll be 28 seats playing into this year's NHC. Then we have 159 participants who will be competing for 6 seats to the 2024 NHC. And first place money today, $56,175. The winner of the Last Chance, First Chance, that'll be about 11th place at the NHC. I think we pay 50 to, or actually, it'll be about ninth place. We'll pay 50,000 guaranteed at the final table. So somebody's going to walk out of here today with a nice chunk of change.
Nice,
you know. So
that's great,
and they deservingly so, because they will have beaten a stellar group of competitors. But we're finalizing those numbers. We'll issue them very shortly, and should be a terrific day and great kind of test run for the three-day competition coming up starting tomorrow.
Five tracks today for the Last Chance, First Chance, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, Fairgrounds, Hawthorne, and Santa Anita. And Santa Anita running this Thursday card is a nice plus.
Yes, no question.
That helps.
Hated to see them lose a weekend of racing, but happy to see them add a Thursday to this week's program.
Big time. And, you know, I already introduced the way the Tampa card came up for Saturday. And, of course, no Golden Gate tomorrow. Did that throw you off much?
No, not too much. And we're glad they're back up for the weekend. Of course, we've had at Hawthorne this year, which is a new twist. But, we've got plenty of races and a good menu from across the country, and I think plenty of races to choose from for both the mandatories and the optionals.
Well, we'll obviously, you know, tomorrow when we dive into the afternoon coverage and really, you know, start to drill down and talk to principals when it comes to that portion of it. Haven't really discussed much yet about the fields and some of the names and some of the highlights.
Well, we've got 11 past champions, and we've got several more playing in today's Last Chance, so that number could go up. But as of right now, we've got 11 former champions in the field for this weekend, and that I know Jose Arias is playing today and is not qualified.
Wow.
As yet.
Wow.
But so we could have at least one more, maybe several more, who come out of today's event. But it's a great field. I was looking at the stats. Our youngest participants are 23 years old. That one of them is Duke Matisse's son, Carson, who been here many times with his dad, but he'll be competing this weekend. And also Andrew Weiss, who's 23 years old. And our oldest participant is Ken Kingsbury, 83 years old.
Nice.
Or 83 years young, I guess I should say. And average age of our field this year is 56. Got 46 states represented. Of course, another quality group of horse players from Canada that'll be here.
Sheldon.
Competing.
Yep. We just saw Sheldon, and he's ready.
Yes, and one competitor from overseas. So, you know, a great cast of players, almost every state, you know, represented here, which is another terrific sign, and just really excited to kick this off. We've got such great partners here with Caesars. They do such a terrific job that it should be a lot of fun.
Got to ask, too, we should touch on, because I know I have it here somewhere, those that are playing for bonuses.
Got seven, I believe, seven players playing for bonuses. Several of them came out of the Hawthorne contest. We've also got Jay Johns playing for $5 million. He's the president of IHOP, so he's got a pretty important job. In fact, last night we were doing some media with him, and he had to pass on some of it because he had an earnings call for the first quarter, or I guess the fourth quarter of last year. But but it's terrific. Great story, and he's looking forward to it, to the competition as well. So, should be great. And, of course, we've got the Beat Bic champ here playing for $1 million bonus, which would be nice.
Well, and I just want to, we should, because I didn't get a chance to reach out to Jay about winning the tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seemed, you know, it he and Trey Stiles were sparring down the stretch.
Oh, yes, no question. But he pulled it out. And he's very excited, and it went right down to the last weekend, which was great.
In terms of the tour, what kind of postscript do you have? And obviously, you know, like you do every year, there'll be evaluation of everything that went into the contest, not just the championship, but you know, the lead up and you know, the constant tweaking in terms of the tour participation wise and any elements that
it just, you know, I think every year it gets a little bit better. This was the largest number of members ever, ended the year about with just over 5,500 tour members, and great competition. Lots of activity. You know, when you look at it, about half this field will have qualified online, and half of it will have come from brick and mortar tournaments held around the country. So it's, I know, you know, people probably think, well, this thing's entirely done on the internet now, but really it's split rather evenly down the middle, and it's great that people can still go to their local qualifiers and compete to get out here, or they can play online from anywhere and qualify every day. There's a different contest, different price points, different ways to play. So we're the tour. There's a stickiness to it that you know, we thought we were onto something, but as it turns out, it's really added to the year-round competition and drawing people into our game, and that's terrific to see.
Looking over, and I know I'm still digging for those other for all the I want to find that the list of the bonus, the other bonus qualifiers that are playing. How about we should actually take a time to also acknowledge the sponsors, and thank you. There we go. There it is. Well done. Thank you. All right, so let me, yeah. Chris Larmy, Darren Yarwood, Jordan Jane, Matt Miller. Matt won the beat pick. Justin Mustari and Kyle King. They're all have the opportunity for a $1 million bonus. And as mentioned, tour winner Jay Johns, that $5 million, yeah. That $5 million bonus.
That's a lot of pancakes.
This is very funny. I'm looking forward to talking to him. And especially, you know, having, you know, myself having a food service background, I'm eager to visit with him and talk about. I always liked IHOP.
Yeah, well, you know what you're getting there.
Well, I'm not a pancake guy. They have an omelet. Their omelets have always been the same. Everyone you go, and then they take the very finely shredded cheese on top, which I love, and then it sort of melts over you know, pretty quickly. I used to stop in Bloomfield, Connecticut, from Manchester on the way into Hartford to school, to Watkinson. There was back then it was the International House of Pancakes. Now they've reduced it to IHOP. They've abolished. Stanley Bavlish, speaking of food service, there's Stanley. He's a long strider. Look at Stanley go. Speaking of fast champions.
Yeah. He's here every year. He's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That actually, that's another list that we go over. Those that have been, those that have qualified the most times, that have been here. How are you?
We've got four people this year who are competing in their 21st or three of the four are competing in their 21st NHC. Sally Goodall, Trey Stiles, there's four of them, Paul and Bill Sherman, that wow. have been here more than 20 times. So it's pretty remarkable when you think about it. They've been here almost as many times as I've been here, and I haven't missed one. But they've qualified. It's just incredible.
Well, you would just expect that. There's opportunities where or circumstances where life gets in the way too. I mean,
sure.
So to make 21 yes. of 24 opportunities.
Yeah. Sprinkling a pandemic in the midst of all that, and it's even more remarkable.
Well, you powered through when it came to that,
yeah.
Right?
We had no choice.
Yeah.
you have to get on living.
No, it worked. And in fact, I referenced the August get together, which was really fun,
yeah.
and the Travers, obviously having Travers Day as the centerpiece of the racing that year.
Great racing from Del Mar, and it's just coast to coast.
Address actually that we kind of stumbled into that. Address the March date decision for those that didn't hear. You know how this came about, and the deal that when you came on, I don't know if it was in November or December, might have been at Symposium, but the way in which this March spot on the calendar, because it is different, this is a Saturday with really Tampa as the only stakes focus. Players that enjoy focusing on stakes, they're not going to have that gigantic menu we frequently have in end of January, beginning of February.
Yes, but I think we've also got a situation where we're a little bit further into the year. I think that's one reason that the numbers are staggering this year, up 30% across the board in terms of entries and participation. And I think a lot of that has to do with moving to the March date and we're a little bit further into the three-year-old season. I always thought January was great. It was kind of the unofficial start of the year of the racing season. But you're also, you can be up against it with the weather in certain parts of the country. So, we've drawn into a period on the calendar where I think, you can always have bad weather, but overall, we've got a better shot at having decent weather across the country in mid-March than we do in late January. And, knock on wood, hopefully we'll get lucky this weekend and have great racing all around the country with not a lot of scratches or changes. And certainly we don't want any cancellations. But, I just think people are more into... The closer we get to the Triple Crown season, the more people get excited about our sport. And that's, I think we're going to see that this weekend. And you alluded to the Tampa Bay Derby card, which is terrific. And it's great to have them participating and be part of this. And we know we have the right partner here with Caesars. We've got the right property, called the Horseshoe, it's everything's aligned. And when we were talking to them about our dates in January and our, we don't want to step on anybody else. Gulfstream has a big day in late January. They're building the Pegasus into, I think they handled $43 million this year. So whatever they're doing, it's got the attention of horse players, and that's not everybody's cup of tea, isn't the Pegasus and the concerts and all that, but it is attracting a lot of attention from horse players, and we don't want to step on that day and be on top of them. We'd like to put a stake in the ground and own a weekend, and now we're going up against Tampa, but that's good news for them. And you know, they'll be the highlight of the weekend. But this just seemed like a date that we could lock in dates for three consecutive years in the second weekend of March. And great sports. We've got that going for us, too, with the conference tournaments. I think there's five of them out here in Las Vegas this week. It's absolutely amazing. In fact, I was in the Paris two nights ago, and the University of Nevada basketball team came walking by, and sure enough, they'd been playing, you know, a couple blocks from here. So they're all here, the Pac-12, Gonzaga's here. It's great to see all that action, and of course, you can bet on it right here in the race and sports here at Caesars. So it's a great partnership. They do a terrific job, and looking forward to growing it even more.
It was the impetus here. The discussion basically came to the fore because of Super Bowl.
Yeah, we had a date in next year when we were on the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl's here in Las Vegas. And on the one hand, that's pretty exciting. On the other hand, you know, you're probably not going to be able to get near a restaurant anywhere on the Strip that weekend.
That's an interesting point,
you
actually.
You know, just a lot of activity, a lot of competition. And so we talked, you know, Caesars wanted to move it. And we said, well, we'll work with you. We want to add, particularly if we can lock in a long-term deal. And that's kind of what resulted from all this discussion was, locking in the next 3 years in mid-March and a couple of other things. But that was really the impetus behind it, was getting off that Super Bowl date and working with them to extend our agreements for the out years as part of this deal. And we're excited.
How, going forward now, the calendar in terms of the way on sites are scheduled and such, is there a domino effect now that there's an official reset?
There is, you know, the season, you know, kind of a the new tour season unofficially begins today with the last chance on first chance contest, but it really began, I think, last week at Santa Anita. They asked
the ultimate betting challenge.
Yeah, they asked if that could provide points on the road to the 2024 NHC. And of course, we said absolutely, we'll work with you. And so I think that was the unofficial kickoff or the official kickoff of the 2024. Road to the NHC, but so there'll be a little bit of a reset because of the March change. But now, you know, we're just going to cruise on through to early March next year, and you know, be right back here at the same 12 months from now. And Frank, we're already looking at that because that'll be the 25th anniversary, and we want to blow that out and make it as
nice,
special as we possibly can. And part of what we're doing this week is with an eye toward next year's event and how we can really make it special.
Well, Derby 150, seven weeks later,
mm-hmm.
and good point, NHC 25. The other part of this, actually, when you work backwards, having Fountain of Youth Big Cap weekend just ahead of coming here, that actually is kind of cool. And so they're a big, you know, a very big roundup and major day Saturday, the weekend before. I kind of like that.
Definitely make it, you're starting to see the Kentucky Derby picture and the older horse picture kind of come a little bit more into focus, which I think is helpful for the horsemen and exciting.
How one other topic with the shift in the calendar, new venues, every year at Symposium, there's the workshop the contest workshop and you know, trying to convince other markets and other venues, and there's been a lot of success on that front coming out of that.
There is, and you know, I guess, you know, the one area where we haven't had success, and we have didn't have it again this year, is we really, really need to host a qualifier at Oaklawn, and we just haven't been able to get it across the finish line, but we're continuing to talk to them, and I just believe in my heart of hearts that that could be one of the most popular
no doubt
sites on the tournament schedule for horse players who, you know, I wouldn't say it's the Holy Grail, but it's on the list. You know, if you're a horse player, you need to get to Oaklawn Park, and we absolutely could have a very successful contest at Oaklawn. We got a lot of horse players in that part of the country.
Oh.
You know, Lone Star and Sam Houston have done a terrific job. That, you know, contests weren't even legal in Texas a decade ago, and they worked hard at it, and they built those contests into something special. But a lot of those horse players would also love that they go to Oaklawn a lot. And even the Oklahomans go to Oaklawn a lot, and
it's a natural.
It's a natural.
Well, and Rick Hammerly tried so hard and it seemed like they were inches away.
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there.
And the you know the aspect for them
at the registration
to. Given the new calendar that they now have instituted, the fact that they could do a December, January, February, March, they've got a natural schedule. Brian Skirkin could put together a series for them.
Sure.
That would be a home run.
No question. And they could during one season have qualifiers to two NHCs every year if they wanted to, because they could do the late December one leading to this year's, and then they could come back and do one in the spring that would lead to next year's, which, you know, but we'll get it done with them eventually.
Yeah.
One of the great things about Oaklawn is change doesn't come quickly. But in some cases, that can be a bit frustrating, you know. But
they are, yeah, it's true.
They're very traditional in the way they look at things there, and they don't rush into change. And they've got a beautiful casino and a great racetrack, and
the place is unbelievable. Yeah. You know, I was there for Rebel Week, and the weather was dreadful. It was cold, and they thronged the place. I mean, they just love being at the track, and it's Saratoga. It's that same seasonal feeling that this is what they look forward to, and they come from, it's not like Hot Springs is a big metropolis.
No.
People have to make the effort the same way people do regionally and nationally to Saratoga.
Sure.
But they come in every week. They come in from St. Louis. They come in from, every regional city from every direction.
Yep.
The parking lot, you walk through that parking lot, it's the craziest thing. Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri,
Louisiana,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they've driven in from everywhere. Tennessee.
Yep.
We'll
get them.
All
and
right.
I think you'll see horseshoe racetracks add tournaments this year. We're doing a lot with Caesars. We're talking about a circuit among their tracks, including possibly some of their standard bred tracks that simulcast thoroughbred racing throughout the year. There's a couple of tracks in Ohio that they handle, and of course they got a new track they're building in Nebraska that'll all be horseshoe branded, and we're working on some type of contest schedule with them.
Nice.
And I think that'll be great. And of course they do great contests in Indiana Grand, and we'd like for them to see them do more as well. So And there'll be some other sites that'll come online. We're still working through that, but we'll have a few surprises.
They in particular are a, from conversations we've just had here the last couple of years, the whole Caesars team, but the Horseshoe brand in particular, they're not feigning affection for horse racing.
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, they've made a real, this show over the next 4 days, it cost a lot of money to put together, and they are committed to being the horse players hotel out here in Las Vegas. And I think you see that around the country too, with the job they do at some of their racetracks. So it's great.
Now we go out to Indy, and they love the game. It's obvious.
Of course, they're having the Jockeys in Jeans here this year, right here at the Horseshoe. I think that's coming up this summer, pretty soon. You know, a couple months from now.
I just saw. In fact, I got. It's funny you say that. I think I may have gotten an email as recently as yesterday while I was traveling. From Barry.
Barry Pearl. Yep.
If I'm not mistaken. About Jockeys in Jeans.
Yep.
Oh, that was last year, last year's piece. So I'll find that. I'm glad you mentioned it.
You may be back here.
That's a wonderful success story. What Barry created with Jockeys and Janes, big time. So I'll get that information. Actually, Tony, I'm
June 24th.
Thank you. Look at that.
Not too far away.
I think, and the first time that he hasn't had it
at a racetrack.
Yeah. But it's a clever idea, and obviously there's a few thorny topics right now.
Oh, sure.
Regarding jockey well-being.
No question.
As opposed to just physical injury.
Oh, no.
This situation
doubt, yeah.
I think has
got a lot of people's attention.
Yes, it has.
And it should.
Well, it's just the tragic nature of what's transpired. I'm sort of vamping with you a little bit because Tony Black I'm supposed to join us, and I'm waiting to hear back from Tony. So I haven't talked to him, and didn't talk to him last week. This trip has it's fabulous being on site, but at the same time it kind of wreaks a little bit of havoc because you like yesterday I kept putting Sid Fernando, because we had people starting to stack up, and there's a time limit. We're done at noon, so there's no leeway really. It makes it fun being on site, and you just you run into people. This, of course, when we first started doing this, and I think it's coming up on 10 years, I think.
Wow.
I think this is the ninth time.
That's amazing.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy.
It is.
But it's so infectious. And the funniest part about it that never didn't occur to me until it happened was the players going upstairs at the end of the night, at the end of the, day one and even day two, and listening to the audio from earlier in the day and essentially kind of reliving the day, which I got a kick out of it. That hadn't even occurred to me that they would do that. And so that part is fun. And then, we end up handicapping along, with everybody else, and we get to play the races live.
Sure.
And it just became... such a something they anticipate, and now I think everybody looks forward to it, and it has served, Keith, to be honest, it has served as a kind of a motivating factor. I mean, there's people who started to play in the, you know, in the contests around the country and online after listening and kind of catching the fever of being involved and coming, getting here.
Yeah, no question. No question. The camaraderie is all part of it. You know, it's just, it's a community, and everybody's got the same disease. Divorce players, you know, which is great. But it's just one of the most gratifying parts of my job is seeing this growth. And it's just incredible. And like I said, I think we could have had a steak dinner last night with a handicapper talking, and we probably would have gotten 500 players to pay $150 and go to it. I think you could do it again tonight and have another event with some handicappers from around the country and do the same thing, because they're all here just itching and champing at the bit, ready to go. So it's just terrific.
The number of players, just by watching social media, build a, not a vacation per se, but because it's work. I mean, it's serious, and it takes a big physical effort, mental and physical effort. But the decision to come out, days ahead of time, and like Trey's out here with his wife, and they're enjoying a few days, and when we've had the discussions leading up, particularly with the rookie qualifiers that are for the first time. And look, not everybody can take Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off.
Sure.
There's people that are on their way here right now, and even getting Thursday and Friday off can be
commitment.
Special. Yeah, that you have to get permissions, etc. But if possible, getting here a day or two early, especially if you're coming from the East Coast, is really helpful because the time change. And if you're somebody that is not acclimated, I mean, it took me years when I was selling and marketing. It took me years. I used to come out to the West Coast, and I was a basket case. In terms of the adjusting to the time. And waking up at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
And now I have to, just in terms of prep for shows, but I was a mess. They talk about football teams, the West Coast teams coming east and essentially playing at 10 a.m. in the morning, being ready to play football at a time that's physically, the body isn't, physically prepared. Coming out here a couple of days early and acclimating to the time difference helps.
No question.
Just getting, depending on where, not everybody stays in the hotel. There's, people stay other places around town.
Sure.
As well. Yeah. So, but just getting familiar, because it can be an overwhelming, there he is, get the champ. Pull up a chair. Here we go.
I think
a very different kind of pressure. David Harrison. I love it.
So exhausted. What time did you get in?
I got in at 10 something, and then by the time the bags, at 11, and by the time we, by the midnight, by the time we laid down. So I grab a mic. Yeah, you can get the mic. He's always been a mic.
Me?
Yeah.
Mic hound? Well, you're a little
you got to the hotel a little sooner than I did. So I'm running on fumes this morning. So this might not be my best performance.
We ran into each other on the elevator last night,
and I was so exhausted.
What time did you get here?
Geez, by the time I checked in, I was in the elevator. It had to be after midnight.
Yeah, well, yeah, close to it.
12, around 12. And I'm standing waiting for the elevator, and I look over to my left, and I know this guy. And I was just so tired. And I'm like, hey, sir.
Well, we had just come out of the room.
We were
putting the final numbers together on today's contest.
Right.
So
that's funny. And a guy that gives you a check for $725K, you should remember his name the rest of your life. So I apologize.
That's
Keith.
All right. That's all right.
I was just so
that
drained.
Is funny.
Yeah,
love
so to, good to see you.
That's good to see you. You look great.
Right.
You
thanks.
Look great. How tell everybody what it's like to come back here as the defending champion. There can only ever be one.
I was just telling Michelle that my first thing when I came into the ballroom, it's walked around. It's surreal, Steve. I mean, I'm just like reliving the scene, returning to the scene of the crime. And it's just brings back so many memories of last year. It was a blur. So the way that I'm looking at it this year is I'm going to enjoy everything and soak it in. And hopefully I can make the cut. We'll see what happens. It's so many, obviously, it's just an incredible amount of seasoned horse players. So I'd like to repeat, obviously, but it's very improbable. But so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
We spoke over the summer when you came to Saratoga, but then now it's another 6 months, give or take. More of the reaction and the postscript to being the NHC champion and further recognition and experience. How's it been?
Yeah, I just
in a Harvey Peck moment at the Eclipse Awards.
That's right. People love that.
Before we get going,
I missed you. That somehow I ended up missing you.
I think you were avoiding me.
No,
because I was talking to Jay Privman, congratulating him.
I was sitting with him,
and he said he was just here 5 minutes ago. Then I was talking to I saw Jason Blewett, and Jason said I just saw Bick. I think he's right over there. So I'm like, well, I just wanted to say hello, and I gave you a shout out,
which was so nice. Thank you.
Your show was exceedingly nice. I mean, it's just so invaluable, and the things that I've learned over the years, just unbelievable. But as far as the life after the NHC win, it's just been an incredible year. I mean, it was so special. The icing on the cake was the Eclipse Awards. I mean, that was incredible. It was just to be there. And first of all, I haven't worn a tux. And by the way, James Bond, I love it. So I had to throw that in.
That was great.
And I was just concerned that some people who didn't get that reference might have thought that was offensive. So
no,
if anybody
not
took
at
offense
all.
To it,
nobody
you
took
may
offense.
Not understand my sense of humor or Steve's sense of humor. But, so I was looking for you. But, I mean, that was the icing on the cake. Just to get the Eclipse Award with all the trainers and owners. And I had, met Mike Rapoli, Todd Pletcher, talked to Jose Gomez, Angel Cordero. It was just what a great event. So any horse players here who would like to feel the experience of being the NHC champ, it's worth it. It's worth it. It was a special year, no doubt. So
money-wise, that's what everybody always wonders. I mean, what is it done? Oh, that's come here. Now we got the double-headed monster. The champ himself, Mike Bacik, going to come sit. We'll have two champs sitting at the table. Yeah, all right. Michael Bacik, excellent. For a guy who was stepping away from the game, he's here all the time.
He's like Tom Brady. I mean, actually, Tom Brady came back a little sooner, right?
It's funny.
I saw his name in some of the online contests. I'm like, oh, Bacik is back.
He is back.
He's back in town.
We'll talk about it when he sits down. Uh-huh. He must have been January. I'll look it up on my phone.
Uh-huh.
I think in January, he sends me a text. It says, I may be sitting in with you. I'm coming no matter what. I may be sitting in.
I got to stand up for this gentleman.
There we are. In fact, this is
once before in Saratoga.
This is always special when one of the smallest fraternities that there is in racing and in any kind of a contestant format. There's so few of you guys that can team up and converse. But he sent me. You tell me when this was. This was one of the funniest things that that transpired. Was you feeling like you weren't going to? You want the headset or the stick? You're either one works. Up to you. There was a point where, here it is. Let me see.
Hopefully, my mic's on.
I think January. It's got to be. You sent me a note, and you said, I may be, here it is, here we go. I'll be in Vegas playing Last Chance. And I said, of course I'll be out. But in the meantime, because I've said you could do some co-hosting duties, you always sit in. But then, like, what, 2 weeks later, you got the seat.
Right, right. So I didn't play any contest in 2022 in HC, just out of I don't know what it was out of. It was out of some feeling that I had that I just wasn't going to pay the man, you know, for the online stuff. And then I got to 2023, and you know, it started coming around, and I was like, I love this so much. I love this tournament. I love the people, meeting people, getting to interact with, you know, people. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna, you know, I did it for a year. I felt good about it, but I said I'm gonna start playing. And the second contest I played, I qualified. I mean, it's just...
You were fresh.
Fresh. I'm good off a layoff. There's no question about it.
Freshness is a key to me.
100%.
Because, last year, before my victory, I had taken like 2 weeks off. I was just so burnt out. And this year, I did the same thing, but I tried to do the same thing. But then I saw the card last Saturday, and I'm like, how the heck? I've got to get involved. But you just don't want to come off a tough beat on that Saturday or Sunday before you're heading into the tournament. And I was speaking to Nick Tamaro, who won the Big A Challenge, the Gotham. And I told him, you are golden, because to come off a win like that could go directly into the NHC. The confidence level has a lot to do with it.
You know, it's harder to do that, though, because, you know, we're so, you know, we're always competing,
yeah,
and we're degenerate sometimes, you know, but always, if you give yourself time, and I've said this before, you know, big contest, and you come in fresh, and it's just getting your brain cleared out,
exactly.
You know, that's all it really is, and you're taking I was off a 360-day layoff, you know, but usually I'm good off a 30-day layoff.
Right.
But, you know, I tried to slow down, but it's hard. You know, I do the picks for the fairgrounds for the newspaper, so it's almost impossible for me to not look at a racing form or, you know, any past performance, because I have to, like, pick. But I definitely slowed it down, because it does clear your brain a little bit and just gives you, you know, a little bit more hunger because you haven't looked.
So if you had in the PPs, if you were in the DRF, on the side, it would say dangerous and fresh, right?
And it would say rested. Second off a layoff, 0% probably.
There you go.
90-day plus, I'm probably
fresh
third.
And fit.
Yeah, I'm good.
I want to ask you about coming into tomorrow and even today. In terms of. Are you playing today? Are you going to play the Last Chance, First Chance today?
Yeah, I won a couple entries. Actually, I won one, and I bought one through the Thoroughbred After Care Alliance. They offered a auction on an entry, and so I bought, I don't know what it was, you know.
Oh, during the on the fundraiser.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah,
they had
a fundraiser, an auction where they had, I think you had an experience or something. So, yeah, I paid, you know, it's tax deductible, and it you know, so it cost.
Smart,
at
good
the
idea.
End of the day, for what I paid, it cost me less than $500.
That's funny.
On a tax basis. But it goes to
smart.
A great cause.
Exactly.
I mean,
you've always been,
you know,
big with that.
I've always, you know, tried to support aftercare, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, TRF, with Kim is another, you know, group that I like to talk about and support. And, you know, the industry, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, but the industry has just done such a great job over the last, you know, 10, 15 years in turning that corner of focusing on horses in terms of aftercare. Hopefully we can turn that corner, focusing on horses on, you know, the drugs with one way or another. Let's just get some clarity on whether Heisa is in or out, you know. And it's kind of weird because one court ruled, sixth ruled that it was good, constitutional. The fifth ruled that it, well, what, that it wasn't, but they haven't ruled post legislative fix. So
no, they did.
Oh, they did.
Oh, they did. Yeah, they in fact they smacked.
Yeah,
Heisa
so
around.
I don't know how you resolve that except you got to go to the Supreme Court.
That there's two other cases pending. We just came from HBPA convention, and by the way, I broke my maiden at Brightson's.
So you went back there?
I had to go back, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, should I? Yeah.
I got there.
You broke your main at Brighton's. Yeah. That was worth the whole trip,
oh,
was it not?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And I told you he's a racetrack degen.
Oh, he told me he's a listener, which I got to tell you.
And I say degen in the
Oh, in the kindest
in the,
manner.
Right. The warmest fashion.
Well, then there's Pessin, who is both a racetrack degenerate and a restaurant degenerate. I forgot to put the picture of Pessin's nameplate. He's got a nameplate.
At Brightson's.
Oh yeah. In the corner
oh, really?
Table. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, it's a great. It's my, one of my top five in New Orleans. So.
I think I said yesterday in the postscript, it's a top five meal all time anywhere for me. It's
what kind of food.
The New Orleans.
Louisiana Cajun style.
I wouldn't say Cajun.
No.
It's Creole. Creole, yeah.
Oh, he's got good crawfish makes its way and shrimp into everything.
Yeah, I've never been down there.
You've never been down there?
No.
That's a mistake.
Should I put that on my bucket
list?
Oh,
my God. Okay. Yeah. Well, you got that gets me to the question that I was leading to, which was how did the big check change, you know, you and the family's life?
Well, I have to tell you, I think Paul Matisse might have referenced this too. It's amazing. When you get a check that large and people know about it, you get a little better looking. I don't know. and a little more popular. I'm a low-key guy. I'm usually a background type guy. But, you know, I'm enjoying it. You know, I've never really... And the strange thing is, I have a lot of non-horse player friends who really don't, you know, they don't understand or can't acknowledge, you know, the magnitude of what I accomplished. But the horse player, when you run into horse players, it's just a whole different scenario. You know, everybody's coming up, congratulating, we're talking horses. But the only thing I did, I didn't really splurge in particular. It just made our lives a little easier. And when you say life-changing score, obviously for me, middle-income guy, very life-changing score. So I splurged and bought a little condo down in South Florida.
Oh, cool. Where?
Outside of Fort Lauderdale, Sunrise.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
About 40 minutes from Gulfstream, and we love Hollywood Beach.
Just by chance, it was 40 minutes from Gulfstream.
Oh, exactly. 40 minutes from Gulfstream, 40 minutes from the beach. I can get go on my party and charter boats out of Hallandale Beach and Fort Lauderdale. I love fishing. That's my fishing,
fabulous.
Beaching,
awesome.
Horse racing, and hockey. And it's 5 minutes away from the Florida Panthers home, so...
That's awesome.
That is.
The Florida Live Arena.
So you're on your west.
Yeah, I was down. We went to the All-Star game. Went to the NHL All-Star game.
I was there that weekend, and it's funny. I realized on that morning, and there he is. My man, Jim Sevis, checking in. Thank you, buddy. I went out there. I went to one game. I went to see the Sabres when they were in town.
Mm-hmm.
Not this trip. But it's just unusual. It's out in the middle of sort of nowhere, out in the sawgrass.
Oh yeah, and the great thing. And again, let's go Rangers.
There you go.
Blue. So the great thing is, you're leaving a parking lot. There's a lot of traffic. And my wife was with me at the All-Star game. We're leaving, and it took us exactly 6 minutes
to get
back to the condo.
How about that?
Fantastic. Yeah.
Good for you.
And
well
it's modest.
Done.
It's modest. But yeah, so I did that. And other than that, still plugging along and. Yeah, it's just been a great year. It really has. Yeah.
How much, for you? I mean, it's a few years removed. It's just nice. It's just a nice cushion.
No, it was. It was at that point. You know, it was. Yeah, that money was life changing. And it wasn't as much as at the end of the day, it was $1 million on the check. But, you know, the IRS and...
Michael, I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up because I just I met with my accountant on a virtual meeting 2 weeks ago. Okay, my accountant, I won't mention his name, but he's from Vegas, and we had a chit-chat and went over numbers, and I'm like, OMG. You know, so I better come back and score. It's a lot of cashola.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so, you think about the federal tax, but then their state tax.
Yeah,
you know, and look, I mean, it was a lot of money, and it was a nice cushion to be able to pay a few things off. You know, in a time when you know cash flow was a little low, but yeah, it's great. I'd love to do it again because it would mean a whole lot. It'd mean a whole lot more cushion today than it would 10 years ago.
Well,
maybe I'll get me a condo somewhere.
Well, you know, the bottom line with that is that the again, I just feel so grateful to the NTRA because it's funny. I might have told this story before. Friends of ours, you know, would come over about our age that we haven't seen, our family members who traveled down from Long Island up to Rochester, and we'd be at a barbecue or whatever, and, you know, the conversation always comes up at my age. So when are you guys retiring? So this might have been 5, 6, 7 years ago when I was trying to qualify for the NHC, and I said, really, to be honest with you, the only way I can try to even consider retirement is if I hit the NHC. And they're like, wow. So, you know, you hear the talks like, this guy's delusional. He's
absolutely
delusional. He's never retiring. You know, I don't know what he's thinking, that he's going to go to Vegas and win $750,000, and that's what he's relying on for retirement. I'm like, it's like,
you gotta have a goal.
That's true, right? But I'm still not retired. It's great.
No, but I don't think anybody, you know, even bigger scores. I nobody just gonna up and I know everybody says that. I'd quit tomorrow.
Right.
Nobody's.
I'm
going.
Smart enough now to know that I wouldn't do that.
Right.
I love what I do.
Exactly.
And you know, still relevant in the field and good at what we do. And you know, I have a lot to contribute and a lot to change. I wouldn't quit. Now I may scale back a little bit. You know, but I love. I mean, I'm so fortunate to be able to do what I do for a living and because you know it's not really a job. I mean, you know, it's a passion, and that goes for horse. I'm not talking about horse racing. I'm talking about what I do for a living.
Yep.
So it's a real blessing, and I'm very grateful for that. But I'd love to win it again, just to you know, and come back here next year and report that I got a condo next to Dennis's here, you know, or somewhere close to Gulfstream, you know, at least in Florida. Florida, though, I don't know. For a person like me, is becoming a little territory that I might not want to get into.
I just want to tell you might not qualify for this development. It's a retirement community, Michael. So
you'd be surprised at how old I am. Over and under.
I'm going to say 59 and a half.
Wow. On the button.
Really?
That's on the button.
I'm telling you, Vegas, I'm seeing it already.
He's already. See, we're going to roulette.
I'm feeling it already. maybe it's psychic. Maybe
that
it was psychic.
On the butt. You're literally 59 and a half years old.
March 1st, I was 59 and a half, right? Because August 1st is my birthday.
Holy
is
cow.
That, six, that is. It's.
So you know what my secret is. I didn't really want to give it away.
You're a carnival.
I'm psychic.
You're a carnival.
I was
going to
say,
he's a carny. He used to work for P.T. Barnum.
He's a carny. Exactly.
I just lost $100. Right
I can't juggle, though.
I don't know how they do that, actually. It is amazing.
It's got something to do with, it's just formulas. It's formulas and numbers and they don't really do it. Like David Hill knows a lot about.
Of course
this,
he
right?
does.
Right.
Of course he does.
But it's like
it is Thursday. We should call David.
Yeah. And you know they'll say, well, just like you know, I'll give you a shoot out a number or something, and they'll like you know, and then they'll finally, oh, I got it. You know, I got your number. Oh yeah, you did. How'd you do that? Well, I asked you 4 or 5 questions, and it was
yeah. Good. They started lead to.
Well,
it.
I used to be honest with you. I'll tell you how I do this. No, I use the swag method. The swag method.
Okay.
Estimating your age, and sometimes with races that are in you know inscrutable, I use the swag method. Sophisticated wild ass guess.
But I'm bummed. Speaking of which, that's actually a great segue. there's been, and you know, particularly last year, last 2 years with Scotty, the advent of some, you know, the ongoing, frankly, advent of new handicapping tools, and I'm curious if there's anything, what's changed in approaches, you know, what's gotten on radar screens for you, anything coming into this? How does the March schedule affect you? Is there anything coming into this different about, you know, the way you've traditionally approached the contest?
I think what used to be valuable 10 years ago, you know, has lost some of its value, meaning, you know, because things are more widely available, and I'm not going to name products, but speed figures, for instance, you know, are much more widely available online, where they, you know, you used to, like, let's just say if you wanted to get a rag number, you know, you had to know, I mean, you had to get it routed to your house by a special delivery person, right? And you couldn't print them. Those things are more widely available. So hence, you know, they're going to lose some of their value because more people have them. I think for me, I haven't, you know, I know there's a lot of machine learning stuff, you know, that is probably going to become more prevalent, that is more widely available, that is not widely available now. It's available to the CRW teams. But just for the everyday handicapper, I think for me, trip handicapping is becoming, you know, kind of the tool that offers more value today than it did, you know, a few years ago. Because it, even though it is more widely available, I don't think people use it as much, and they're going to rely on a number rather than how the race looked and how the horse looked. Just for me, you know, I'm putting a little bit more emphasis on just like trip notes and different places, two different sources, but yeah.
Well, and so that essentially that means a ton of race watching and replays.
Or you find somebody who does it better than you do, and you pay for that information.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm not a good race watcher, and I know that because I've tried it before. I mean, I've tried to be a trip handicapper years ago, and I just don't do it well. But they're, you know, Trip Note Pros by Benny South Street.
Sure.
Ryan is a fantastic resource. I mean, I don't know how they do it because they got to watch so many damn races. And it's really... The other thing is, you know, if you are a good trip handicapper, you are. I can't teach Dennis, I don't think, to be as good
David,
of a trip.
David.
I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry. To be as good of a trip handicapper as I, because it's an intuitive thing. So Ryan is very good. And there's, you know, I think Optics, Doyle's group does a great job on trip notes as well. Emily probably does most of those, but John probably does a lot of those, a former champion.
Right.
And I think those are just valuable. I just think, you know, those are things that other people don't have, and so that makes it... For instance, like if you, you know, a thoroughbred horse that 5 years ago would have been, you think, you know, 5 or 6 to 1, today might be 9 to 5 or two,
right.
And that's just... That's just the way it is. Now, a lot of that might be CRW folks, but a lot of it is just, it's just, Jerry just did a great job of marketing his product, and a lot of people have it, you know, and it's just hard to find that kind of value.
And I found, Michael, that over the years, in the modern year, the last 10 years especially, it's so much, the data is just so available, all these analytics and these packages and programs, where when I started playing back in the 80s down at Belmont and Aqueduct, I mean, you had the DRF, and then you heard, you know, hey, I mean, and it was, to me, it was easier. You know, you got better prices. People, you know, you have an angle. Now, with analytics, 1,000 guys have that same angle. Yeah, it makes it more challenging, but I'm trying to access or have more of an open mind to some of these products. So I don't know if you want me to name a particular product.
No, it's fine. We discuss all.
Yeah,
the products.
I ran into at the Eclipse Awards. Scotty McKeever had introduced me, and he's got Equine Edge.
Yeah.
So I've been going over that.
Yeah, we had a riot. We were using it on air, and Scotty has added layer after layer. He's constantly tinkering and keeps improving, and it's still in its infancy even. But it's quite remarkable what he's done, and we had so much fun with him explaining, and we handicapped on the fly. That's that part of it. You know, we're featuring Form to Win, which is kind of similar. It doesn't take in as many factors. It's pretty much a speed tool, but that part of it is amazing to me. The recognition or the expectation, it seems, that the next generation of player is just going to want an insta-read snapshot of races. And whether it's, all the same factors can still be incorporated into what we have done, you know, off of the printed, you know, off of old-fashioned PPs. Pace, speed, trip, trainer intent, and you know, class levels, the droppers up, down, etc. The surface changes, you know, all the karma moves that are involved. But having it in a slide rule, you know, the method that gives you a pecking order of contenders based on that kind of information, it does seem like that's we're headed.
That's absolutely the trend, because the new generation of horse players you're introducing, I think a product also like Equine Edge is so valuable for newer horse players, because they can go on and have that information right in their hand. You don't have to look at DRF and then said who's got the speed, who's dropping down, it's there right at your fingertips.
I understand it, and that's why one of the reasons we have the discussions, and I'm always willing to introduce any of the new products. When Timeform came out, we had Mark. Mark Annenberg stepping aside after a long extended period, and he and a lot of people contributed to making Timeform U.S. successful. I maintain that having the foundation, you know, having a complete understanding of the mechanics that PPs offer, I don't think new players are going to, potential new players, I don't think they can rely. They're not going to necessarily understand what they're looking at if they're just utilizing and I don't want to call it an AI tool,
right?
Because it's more than that. Let's call it an intuitive handicapping, product.
Right.
I think you have to learn the basics, no?
I don't think so. If you're saying a new generation, you look at it how they came to fantasy sports. Okay, they weren't the people with the Stratomatics and they came into it and looked at a computer screen. Right. There was a software that was already putting a lot of these factors together for them, and they got into it, and that's what. That's going to be how they, if they ever get into horse racing.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be how they want to, and how you're going to have to lead them in. You're going to have to show them, like, the Equine Edge and the Form to Win kind of stuff. You can't show them a piece of paper like the Day of the Race and Form of Brisnet. They're going to be like, what the hell is this?
And again,
so that's how they.
I agree, but
for us.
Yeah, for us, when I first started handicapping, it took me years to understand the racing form in and out. And I think I'm a reasonably intelligent guy. And, it just took a lot of work, to refine or get the skills to really, have everything or understand everything, incorporate everything that's in all the data in DRF.
It took a lot of work, right, people don't want to put in.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why these new you know, machine learning, AI kind of things are will be valuable tools to bring new people
exactly.
in. But I also think it creates, I'm contrarian, but, you know, I think it will create even more opportunity for people that don't use it, because as soon as more people start using it, the value of the things we just talked about, like the trip note things and the,
right.
the trainer intent, you know, it, you can't have everything in there. You know, I don't know how they incorporate trip notes into, you know, Equine Edge. I'm sure they have some sort of factor that a weight to that, but, you know, my eyes or somebody else's eyes are going to see things differently, and so that'll make those things more valuable.
But the advantage of that
will
is that I don't have the time to do all the research that they will do.
Right.
Now again, if you have a busy work schedule, like sometimes I do, and I just want to play three or four races, and I look at and I don't have the time to put the work in that day.
Right. If you just want to gamble, like, and that's what these, you know, I say this generation of kids. I mean, that, you know, something's on television or something. Like when Fox puts a race up on TV, and they want to, hey, who do I bet? And they can go somewhere and, boom, boom, boom. It's the 4-3-2. Fine, I'm gonna bet 4-3-2.
Right.
They're not
right.
trying to
and the thing
figure
is too,
it out.
Now with the sports, legal sports wagering becoming more prevalent throughout the country. Hey, my son's in his 30s, and his buddies, they all focus on now. Guys who haven't played and were not gamblers in the past, you got it on your app. You're at a bar. You're
but
like,
the difference
hey,
is,
I got the Penguins right. against the Sharks tonight. Who don't? They're calling me. You're
right.
the hockey guy. I'm like Penguins Sharks. I said it's hockey. Anybody
right.
can win.
Right.
But take the odds. I mean,
but they've seen those sports for you know, growing up, and they feel like they know. Oh, football game. I know the Steelers are going to beat the Giants or something. You know, and. They'll bet on that. Whereas horse racing, you throw that on TV and put this, I don't know anything about a horse race. Well, they don't know anything about football, really. I mean, you know, the way people who bet on football know about football. So,
well,
but they'll bet
yeah,
on that,
right?
Right they'll
right.
bet on that. That's where we got to get to, though. Where we have to get to.
We discussed this yesterday at HBPA with SIS, Richard Ames and Michelle Fisher, the fixed odds. The development of the fixed odds programming, and it's a slog. I mean, it is a slow go, but that gets us to another topic. Let's fold this in. Michael Bacik with us and David Harrison. What year did you win?
2012.
So it's been 10 years. This will be the 11 years.
Quick question. I don't mean to interrupt you, but you got it, your prize package was $1 million that year.
Yeah. The only one.
How's that?
It would seem
more players now over the last 10 years.
Some of it also is they pushed. They're paying further down, as well. Right.
Correct. They're top 10%. Right.
I'm not going to answer on behalf of the NTRA.
Okay. There you go.
On that stuff.
You're a lucky guy.
I was lucky. I think the $1 million was sexy. I think it created a lot of post-win marketing ability and actual outcomes that don't exist today because it was $1 million. I always think it should be $1 million. I mean, and I think we should. My personal opinion, not an NTRA. I fought this for years, but I think we should get rid of some of, like the consolation tournament, like the if just to get started $1 million.
To have more money into the
winners,
pool,
right? Yeah, the people winners. That perform,
yeah.
Right? I mean, why should I get any? I'm a loser on Sunday if I don't make the top 60. But there, you know, there's a whole nother, you know, couple hundred grand that they're throwing away. I mean, I just don't think that's a whole nother conversation.
Well, and were you on any of the advisory boards or?
Yes.
Right. I thought you were because there was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of pressure from certain quarters to,
yes.
you know, to make reward people, you know, that did very well. I mean, to be in the top 10%. And
1 year when the 12th place player was making the same as the winner of the consolation tournament, that was an issue. And this is true. It was like 12, 15 grand or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, that's not right.
Yeah, I mean,
and
if,
so,
if you're 12th in the NHC, you should... Your prize pack should be a lot more
absolutely.
Than winning consolation.
Correct.
Oh, absolutely.
And look, I think they could do something like, look, they have a tournament today, the Last Chance, which is drawing 600, 700 entries.
750 entries.
And why can't we do that on Sunday? Have a $200 tournament. Have a $1,000 tournament. Whatever you want to have. I mean, have a to keep people around and have another tournament, but create new prize money. Give the prize money that we generated through the year to the players that have performed. That's just my perspective.
I your point that it would be good promotion. The NHC winner, it's $1 million. $1 million to the winner.
That's
but
a lot.
Again, it's just don't mean to be an expert on this, but that's a good point.
An interesting portion. It's kind of inside baseball, inside contest. I mean, when it comes to the people that get interested. Yes, the prize package is appealing. Once you make it here, and you see what goes on, then it becomes the challenge, and that's what having the potential to win this, and because it continues to be a win, you can't buy your way in.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with the buy-in contests and the BCBC.
Well, I mean, there's a lot more competition today on just contest-wise. Like I said, DraftKings has $1 million tournament every weekend on different sports.
Right.
Millie makers are happening every day, and so you can't compete. Oh, we gave away $750,000. Oh, okay. Next.
Hey, $1 million is good, but I have to tell you, $750,000 is not too shady.
It's so funny.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. In terms of this, the next 4 days. Some thoughts about the March schedule. One of the things I brought up with Keith, the Tampa card is wonderful, but it's not a Saturday that we're a lot of times we're used to with literally 15 graded stakes at four different venues.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was telling more than a few horse player friends of mine when I was heading out that it would have been great if the NHC was last weekend with the Santa Anita Derby, the Gotham card, Fountain of Youth. Did you see that Gulfstream card last weekend? I that was great. It was, now last year was the Florida Derby, Pegasus weekend, right? So that Gulfstream card that Saturday was fantastic. And then 6 months previous to that, in August, it was Travers weekend.
Well, that was crazy,
right?
Which was a riot.
Right. So to me, I would rather have a tournament with more stakes, 3 days with more stakes, right? That Saturday, Sunday with more stakes races. I looked at Gulfstream's card, Oakland's card on Saturday. I mean, you've got some races. You've got the Azuri. Tampa. Tampa Bay Downs got the Florida Derby card, which is good.
Which is
terrific. But, there's some races that it's just not so exciting to me this weekend, to be honest. And it would have been great if it was last weekend. But again, I know this conflicts with other things going on here at the venue.
There's a lot of players though that love playing 8,000 claimers and 25 non-2s.
Oh, I can do 25 non-2s.
I like maiden races. I mean, I wish they'd be all maidens, but so I haven't even looked at Saturday's card.
Oh, okay. Maybe you could teach me a few things.
Hopefully, there's
stay away from maidens and especially maiden claimers.
Well, this is what's amazing about
You see, and that is really what is amazing about how you approach the contest.
Right.
And so, what I think about maiden claimers, especially or maidens, is that there is so much value in a first-time starter, because many players. This is a fantasy sports concept where you're trying to own a player that is lower owned against the field, right?
Right.
So if you're and first-time starters have the most value to me, because there are players who, first of all, there's players who just won't play maiden races.
And me include myself
as optionals,
not in a contest.
But this proves that there's a different method that can win,
and
that's what makes it great. And they'll just stay away from them altogether.
Now, let me ask you a question, because this is why I avoid maiden special weights. Now, again, you if you have a maiden special weight field of 8 or 9, and you have 6 first-time starters and 3 horses that have 2 races each.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you know how these horses that are first-time starters are going to run? You could see the workouts could look great on paper. Yeah. You could do four.
What do you use? I mean, are you using trainer stats or what is the difference maker? What's the differential?
Yeah, because to me, with hard-hitting claimers or allowance horses where they have 20, 30 starts, you have form that's, you know, back form, back class, and they've run out a number of different distances, so you have more data. So I think trainer stats are important.
Mm-hmm. Trainer intent is important. I think that the dam performance as a first-time starter is important if she ran. The dam progeny, their performance first time out, whether they're precocious or not, is important. And so those are the three workouts. I mean, I think, again, a lot of people now have access to that data, you know. So, but I think trainer intent, dam performance, and progeny performance first time out for me are three things that I just look at and I'll go with. And I think you can get prices on those types because, you know,
And
the maiden specials, you know, especially at Gulfstream and Santa Anita. I mean, if you just play Pletcher and Baffert, you're going to win.
There's not much value there. At Gulfstream, first-time starters, 3-year-old, maiden special weights. Bet Pletcher or leaving a stretcher.
But at Oaklawn, you know, Oaklawn, Aqueduct, Laurel.
We heard that the other day.
You can find some prices. And so that's what I focus on.
I'll give you an example. There was a crazy situation Saturday at Santa Anita that made the whole weekend personally. When this is funny, you're saying that, you just made me think of this. When I, you know, I was at Santa Anita leading up to Saturday, so we were handicapping, you know, the stake races, but of course the multis, the middle portion of the card and the late card, you had to deal with this middle section. You know, they used the Buena Vista and the San Felipe mid card because of television, and Naira used it for their First Racing used it for the Coast to Coast. So it coordinated nicely with Gulfstream. But then there was a period, races 7, 8, 9, and 10, that had to fill in the blank before the Kill Row and the Big Cap. And so mid-card, Mitten Drennan, mine and his, not yours.
Yeah.
There's a maiden 40. Like, what is this race doing here? Why would they put this maiden? So lo and behold, we're handicapping, and there's a couple of obvious types that are looking very much like career maidens, but career maidens can occasionally win. In a pick six, you would hate to use those kinds of horses and waste multiples because they're career maidens. Most notably Pacific States, the DeSormo one, the one that Keith and Kent had. But there was also a 12-1 morning line, Louis Mendez, who's one of the best precocious types. Now, these weren't precocious. These were 3-year-olds that mostly had starts. There were a couple that were first-time starters that looked meh. But Louis Mendez was bringing one back that had made like 3 or 4 starts at 2. And, I mean, you got to look 3 times at Mendez. Horse goes off at 26-1.
Got lost on a board.
$54 winner. I picked them third as my best value. And it ended up making for a $1,200 pick 4.
Nice.
And this was a race when I first looked at the card, I thought, ugh, this is a fiasco. It ends up making the weekend.
Yeah, Mendez is a sharp.
It does terrific.
Trainer intent on maidens. You got to be what? All right. So this is I'm sitting here in front of Steve Bick, and this is the third person. I don't know, before I got here, David, with your other people, but this is the third person who has brought him food.
Well, I mean,
it's like he's a homeless man on the strip.
I don't know what it is.
People are dropping off food here.
These look homemade.
Well, if you listened to the show yesterday, all he talks about is food.
Well, of course.
He's more handicapped than you get food.
I understand.
I can't say,
that's
Mike.
The state
Michael,
cookie of New Mexico.
Right. The state cookie of New Mexico.
What is it called?
Biscochito.
A biscochito?
Biscochito.
That'd be a good name for a horse.
You might have to. Yeah.
Yes, it would.
Or maybe that's what they call Adam Biscuits in New Mexico.
He's calling the biscuit. Right.
Biscochito. Thank you so much.
I have to admit, I can't deny that I'm not a participant in this because I brought Steve a melon over at Saratoga.
That's true.
Yeah. I heard him talking about honeydew melons in Greenwich, and 20 minutes. I tuned in.
He's got a cronut.
Well, look at that.
That's what it is. It's called. It's one of the famous croissant cronut. That was Jim Sebas. This was Cocker John.
There you go.
John Nichols brought a fabulous, it's like a coffee cake muffin, and now a biscochito. I got to take a picture of this.
Frank Miramati going to drop off
pizza?
A Sicilian pizza?
Let me tell you something. He made me go to that Pizza Bianco in that new warehouse district in they call it the Row. I think they call it the Row in L.A., downtown DTLA. It was spectacular.
Speaking of Pizza Bianco.
Yeah.
Bobby Flay's horse. What is Bobby Flay's?
Yeah, Pizza Bianco.
We ate last night at Amalfi.
You love Amalfi. That's your place.
Oh, my God. It was so...
Where is that? That's here?
It's in Caesars.
Okay.
That's your place.
Bobby Flay's place. I got a little info on a horse that's running Saturday.
Look at you.
Okay.
A Bobby Flay horse.
Yeah, I'm going to slip you $100 bill for that.
I doubt it. You got,
and it is, you know, I mean, those are the type, I was just, you know, talking food and horses, those are the type of people that need to be featured. Like, I don't know, you know, why is Bobby not here? I mean, I know he doesn't play this type of tournament, he's a live money.
But he doesn't need the money.
But if you say, hey, you know, a year out, say, hey, Bobby, you know, why don't you, here we have this tournament. You know, those are the type of things that would grow or help get some more people. Because people follow him on Instagram for food. I mean, he's got a million something followers.
That's true.
But, I mean, he's also, he likes to gamble. I mean, he's played the BC, he's played the Pegasus. He plays that every year, you know.
Talk about celebrities. Eddie Olchek.
Absolutely.
I thought he qualified. I think he qualified. Was that his son? Yeah, I saw him on the list of qualifiers.
But anyway, Amalfi was top five meal I've ever had last night. Yes.
Top five ever?
Ever. It was just spectacular.
Can I ask what shoe? What
you have?
Fish. I had a Dorado. Salsa Verde. And then we had two pastas. They were just fantastic. Some eggplant. Okay.
Squid ink pasta? Black?
Did not have squid ink pasta.
Because that's usually...
It's just a fantastic place. Great restaurant.
The Amalfi Coast.
I know, I've been there four times. I think it's been open for...
Every year you always talk about going to Amalfi.
It'd be a place I'd go back twice on the same trip. That's how good it is.
That's what Tina and I did in Savannah, Mrs. Wilkes.
I find a place, I'm getting on it. I'm on it. I used to go to Mesa Grill at least twice.
Mesa Grill? Yeah.
A Bobby Flay.
That's our man.
All right, I'm going to go keep Steve and David. I got to go do a little handicapping.
All right.
Okay, well, I'm going to be... I actually came down here looking for some caffeine because I'm running on fumes, and I'm going to drink somebody's old leftover coffee here. So
no, there's all set up.
Michelle,
you're in business.
They're putting them out. But before I go, I just want to mention a couple things. I am real happy to see the news the other day that the lucky coin now has been changed to the Harvey Pack Stakes.
Yep.
That is awesome. As you know, when I start thinking about how much Harvey was an influence on my love of the game and just his personality, I remember when he got the Breeders' Cup on National TV, he got that gig. And I remember a buddy of mine called me, he says, "You turn it on the Breeders' Cup?" And I'm like, yeah, I'm putting it on in any minute. He says, "Look who's doing it." He goes, "It's Pack, Harvey Pack." He goes, one of us is doing a Breeders' Cup National show. So he was such a huge part. What a character. I used to go to the Paddock Club all the time. And then Ciro's. He used to do Ciro's a couple hours before the track. I used to make the trek up there. That was the highlight. just his humor and the guests he had on. It was just so. I'm really just. It's awesome. It's awesome. I'm hoping that maybe because of the tributes that I give to him, maybe Andy Serling, and maybe I can help with the trophy presentation.
Well, they're going to try to. They're going to see about his wife.
His wife's still.
Yep. She's 93, but the thing is, she's not in the city anymore. She moved down to D.C. I think near her son. And, but they're going to try to get her up at least for the first
Martel, one. You know the yep.
The son, you know, the son is a politico. Yeah, yeah. So, well, no, it's terrific. And you mentioned Michael Bacik, first visit of the.
I'll see you.
NHC.
Well, I'm going to hang around for two more minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, did you have any other guests?
Not here. I'm going to get Kevin Kirstein on.
Yeah,
we're
sure.
Taking a break here. I'm going to get Kevin. I want to get the future wager conversation
I'll depart pre-break then.
There you go.
I got a couple things.
Yeah. All right.
But thank you so much for having me on.
Not at all.
And what a wild ride this is going to be. This is going to be
fun.
Should
be great. So, should be
tremendous. Thanks for everything you do for the sport.
Too kind.
It's just... You're my 1A. Harvey's my 1. You're my 1A, my friend. So.
Too kind.
All right, Stevie.
David Harrison, everybody. Your defending winner. And Michael Bacik as well for a really fun hour together. Let's take the break here, second of two. And when we come back, Kevin Kirstein's going to join us from the Ville. He was hopeful to qualify. We'll get Seth Merrow in as well. Rich Eng will be here tomorrow. So I guess we can save Rich for tomorrow. I never heard back from Tony. So I think Tony is indisposed. So no Tony, I guess, today. All right. We're at the event center, and you got a nice smattering room, about 20% full. There'll be 550 or so, and as Keith indicated, and actually is. As Bacik, as the champ, sort of confirmed, they could have had more, perhaps, if they had kept pressing. I've tried a biscuit cheat, though. It's a cinnamon butter cookie, basically, for those that are quickly looking up biscuit cheetos on online. It's a nice cookie. And I got a cronut, I got a muffin, it's crazy. Back after this.
Races with Steve Bick. Enough. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews, the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping,